Hi, I'm John.
And I'm Kevin.
Two creatives who have placed creativity at the center of our lives, and this is the Time is Right podcast.
All right, so we've titled this episode, Finding Creativity. And the reason I wanted to talk about this was I had a few conversations recently with people who have struggled with finding their creativity. Some people have been creative, but they fall out of the habit and then struggle to find their way back again. And for other people, they have struggled for a long time trying to find some way to express themselves creatively. And we've talked in previous episodes, in some of our earliest ones, on the benefits of being creative. And obviously, we wouldn't do this podcast if we didn't believe that. And for you and I, we've been creatives our whole life, and we've really not had a problem actually getting into it. We may have had difficulty getting into individual projects, and we can talk about that too. Yeah. But we haven't experienced what I know other people have.
Right. We're very fortunate. We generally are able to direct our creative energies to any number of things. So
usually too many things.
Yes, usually too many things.
I think we're just kids who didn't grow up and we haven't stopped playing.
Yes. It wouldn't have it any other way.
Right. So because you and I haven't had some of those long-term barriers, I don't know that we're really the right people to talk too much about that. I have one point I'll make, but generally I think we should wait and bring someone on who has had that experience.
That would be fantastic.
To address that. And I don't have anyone in mind at the moment, but we will be looking for someone.
Yes.
But I will say that one thing I think is both useful to both people with a long-term difficulty finding their creative path and people who have had creativity in their lives before but have lost it for some reason. Many people lost it during the worst of the pandemic. While some people embraced the time alone and did a lot of creative things, other people had the exact opposite reaction.
I find that very interesting because until we started talking about this episode, I had not been aware of anybody in that situation. And I find that fascinating. I mean, my composing really blossomed out of the pandemic. I had a lot of time to do different things. And that actually was my the thing that got me going. And, you know, there's a lot of jokes about people's like, oh, I'm going to learn a new language and, and all this other stuff.
Baking bread was a big thing.
Baking bread was a big thing to the point where you actually couldn't find flour in my supermarket. It was ridiculous. But, you know, people make jokes about that. But I think that there was a real depth to, what am I trying to say, the pandemic period really affected people in unexpected ways. And I think a lot of people, either depression, anxiety,
loneliness,
any combination of those things, loneliness, all those things can I imagine, contribute.
Yeah. I know several writers that stopped writing entirely during the pandemic. They just couldn't do it. I myself actually struggled with reading fiction during long-form fiction.
I did, too. Yeah, like I did, too.
Short stories, nonfiction, I could read that, and poetry, but I couldn't read the long-form fiction. I don't really know why that was, but just at that time, it wasn't working. And other people, like I said, they struggled to just sit down and write. And I think a lot of it, like you said, it was anxieties over what was happening, worry over loved ones, and and of course a lot of parents stuck at home with their kids and just didn't have the time anymore the energy. So for a lot of people who were creative, that was a time where they kind of fell out of the practice. And I know in one of the conversations I was having recently that that person was very diligent about taking care of their physical self, but they had stopped really feeding their emotional side with something creative. And it was something they used to do. One of the things that I think can be useful to both a long-term creative block or a short-term one is just having an honest conversation with yourself about what you would like to do, what you used to like to do, but maybe you're not doing now. And you know, we talk about, you know, I wander around my house talking to myself all the time. But, you know, I think a lot of people really don't have that serious conversation with themselves. They don't really sit down deliberately and ask themselves about themselves. And really, in a lot of ways, I think that's kind of the basis for creative expression. Is that you're asking yourself questions about the world, about yourself, and out of that eventually comes something. Yeah. And I think the other part of that is have that conversation with yourself, but also invite someone close to you that obviously cares about you and is going to be honest with you and is going to listen to you. And if you can do those two things, I think you can at least make a step forward towards breaking that creative block. So that was my one idea. I actually maybe have two, but that's about...
okay, podcast over.
Yeah, right. That was okay, I'll rephrase that. That was my big idea. That was my big idea. So,
well, it was a fine idea. oh man. Okay. We've talked a little bit, and this conversation made me think about pretty much all the things that we've talked about in the last, you know, year and a half or however long we've been doing this episodes, and how after a creative slump, for whatever reason, I think it actually, you may find yourself having to sort of start over with a lot of things, finding your space.
Or reclaiming it.
Reclaiming your space, creating your boundaries, reclaiming your boundaries. And that can be hard because you might have gotten into a different way of living and relating to the people around you, which may no longer be conducive to going back to what you were doing.
Or at least not easily so, which is kind of where that conversation thing comes in, I think, right? You need to, you have the conversation with self, but then you need to talk to those around you that will be affected by it.
And the other thing, it scares some people who feel they were pretty good at something, I think, that you want to resume, but you're afraid you're going to suck at it. Maybe not be at your best. But that's, again, the whole give yourself permission to suck thing that we've always talked about.
Right.
Applies here because, after you might be a little rusty after a period of time. But the other thing I've noticed with a lot of people, myself included, after a long hiatus, if you will, sometimes you're better than you were. when you stopped, if it involves a physical skill like playing an instrument or if it involves something with your hands, it might take a bit to get back into practice. But at the same time, your head's clearer often about it because you haven't been stuck in your own head for a while,
and you might come at it with a little more of that creative energy. You might just be a little more ready to do it once you actually get to it. I think something you said there too about starting over, maybe the reason you stopped was because you weren't getting the right satisfaction out of what you were doing. And it might be worth looking at that and saying, well, okay, what were the things that I liked to get out of it? Why am I no longer getting them? And, you know, maybe it means approaching what you were doing differently. You know, maybe it means, I don't know, writing short stories instead of novels, or writing songs instead of orchestral pieces or something. Just to kind of change it up and try to bring back some of that creative joy that you had. Mm-hmm. It might also mean picking up something completely different.
Yeah, that's true.
And just giving it a trot. Like you said, permission to suck. Every time we start over, every time I write a new book, I'm starting over. I have no clue how to write that book. I really don't. And it's a learning process every time.
Yeah, I recently started in on a songwriting project, and I haven't done that in literally in years, not since the band, which broke up in 1993. No, that's not true. I did write a couple of songs since then.
Yeah, you had a little ditties.
Yeah, I hear it here and there, but anyway, we won't talk about those. But
we don't talk about the ditties.
I'm trying to decide if I need to edit that out.
I don't think so.
No, I won't. Anyway, and so, yeah, I'm coming at it. First of all, I haven't sang in I don't know how long, so there's that's kind of fun. I was trying to record last night, and it was just terrible. The other thing is, it's a very different mindset doing that stuff, and so I'm getting into it. I'm really getting into it, but it's, oh man, it's hard. Mm. It is hard. And doing actual songwriting is just a very different discipline from writing orchestral music. So it's been very interesting to struggle my way back into that and try to make that work.
And I was thinking, one of the people I was talking to, they were a knitter, and they haven't knit anything in over a year. And, you know, maybe knitting's not the right thing. Maybe they should be doing crochet or something else just to get started again. And then they might find their way back to what they were doing before. I guess the point here is just change it up. Don't get stuck on, I can't do this thing. I can't write this poem because I suck at writing poems now, or whatever, right?
I don't
like it anymore. And or you convince yourself you don't like it. Mm-hmm. And just go do something else. Try to find something, and you may find that it will bring you back once you get back into the swing of being creative.
Yeah.
One of the other things I was talking about when we're talking about having these conversations with people that we trust, but also with ourselves, that introspection can be very powerful, as I alluded to. And some people have found it actually to be life-changing, and they just have discovered something new about themselves. And one of the conversations I had recently was with someone who was well in her advanced years, and she was saying that she had never really thought about who she was.
Really?
Yeah. And now, at this point in her life, she decided she wanted to. And so she started to do that. And I think that's going to end up taking on some form of a creative expression. It may be journaling, or I don't know, but I expect that something will come out of it that's creative in nature. And as we always say, it's the doing that matters and not the output. And I think in her case, discovering more about herself is probably going to require some creative effort to make that happen. But it's the creative effort that will help her find herself.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yes, permission to suck, because it never turns out the way we hope. Not at first. You have to work at it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
And in fact, one of the barriers I think that people can have to this, and you mentioned this a little bit, is if you think you're no longer good at it, that fear of failure. And I wanted to call it a trick, but then I thought maybe it's more of a skill.
Yeah.
To not forget it, but to embrace the fact that you will fail on your own terms. You may fail on according to other people's terms too, but you can't really worry about that, especially while you're doing the creative thing. You really have to focus on, you know, pleasing yourself and trying to achieve what you want to achieve. Mm-hmm. And you probably will fall short of that many times before you actually succeed in producing something that you wanted, something you envisioned. Mm-hmm. But again, it's the doing that matters more than that completion. And in fact, if it doesn't turn out the way you wanted, you get to do it again. That's kind right. of the that's the silver lining here, right? Is you get to do it again.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, we talk about it a little bit, is establishing that practice, establishing all those boundaries and just doing it on a regular basis, whatever regular is for you. Well, for example, you moved recently, so you've changed your physical environment.
Mm-hmm.
Did that have any impact on your creativity at first?
Yeah. in two ways. In one sense, most definitely, it was difficult to find the time to work on stuff. Initially.
Right. Certainly
while we were moving, although I actually did work on a piece while we were transitioning from one place to the other. And it's not one of my stronger pieces, but it was fun to work on. And, you know, occasionally it was nice to just, you know, pop into my makeshift studio and just work on this little electronic piece that was kind of fun and, you know, didn't require a lot of me, but it kept my hand in, so to speak. Yeah, after, you know, we got where we're going, you know, we moved into this house and got settled in, there's been a period where I wasn't really doing much. And I've been trying to figure out what to attribute that to. Because, as I was saying before we got on the recording here, now I've started putting my stuff out on Spotify. And so I'm putting a little bit of the back catalog on Spotify. And I'm like, oh, there's not much here in this time period because I didn't do anything. And so, yeah, it's taken me longer than a surprisingly long time to get settled in to the point where I can actually just sort of work on something and get going on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what it is because my gear hasn't changed. My setup is not significantly different. My time is not significantly different. Maybe the only thing going on during part of this period was work was pretty stressful and I just was tired. Mm-hmm. But what did I do to break out of that? Because I did have to physically do something to break out of it. Mm-hmm. And I had a piece in the works, the one I released a little bit ago, that took me months of elapsed time, but probably just a couple weeks of actual work. Mm-hmm. But I told myself, I got to, one, practice what I preach and show up. And
I know this podcast says we're creators, so we have to create.
Yeah, it's like a lion's sack of it.
We would be the creative frauds we warned ourselves about. Yes.
Oh dear. And so anyway, so I said, okay, I gotta just start showing up. And I thought, okay, well, what could I manage? I used to get it into my head, sort of a sidebar for a second. I used to get it into my head that I had to have fairly large blocks of time to be mm-hmm. productive. Mm-hmm. And the longer I do this, the more I realize that that's total BS. I don't actually need large right. blocks of time. It's just me saying, I don't want to do this, and here's my excuse. Because the longer I do this, the easier it is for me to slip into the doing, as opposed to kind of screwing around and trying to figure things out and do stuff. It's like, no, I just really can settle down, open up my stuff, and I'm chugging away within about 5 minutes. And it doesn't seem to matter how long I wait between sessions. It still takes about that same amount of time. So I said, all right. You're lying to yourself when you say you need big blocks of time because you know that's not true, John.
Right.
So
we've talked about that thoroughly.
We've talked about that, and now I feel like an idiot. So, so I said, well, how about an hour? Can you manage an hour on a daily basis to just get in there and do something? Just show up for an hour. That's all you got to do. And so I started doing that. And the piece I'd been struggling with suddenly was done in a matter of days. Because I've thought about it. And this is the mind game I played with myself. It was like, well, an hour a day is like 30 hours in a month. And allowing for days you're not going to do stuff, that's like 300 hours a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's a lot of hours.
Yes.
And they may not be contiguous, but that's a lot of hours. So I was like, well, wait a minute, that it does add up to something, and I don't need these big, huge blocks of time. It's just going to take me a little more elapsed time. So anyway, but I had to psych myself into that to get out of the slump and to get moving again. And now I'm, you know, like I said, I can sit down and I can start working. I can, after an hour, maybe an hour and a half, I'm like, well, I got no more in me today.
Right.
And I usually leave the room with something ready to work on for the next day that I'm already thinking about. Right. So all the stuff that we've talked about in the past, you know,
yes.
Getting restarted again, as right. we were just talking about.
Yeah. Getting that practice going again.
Doing, yes, exactly.
Doing it right on a regular basis again, whatever is regular for you. And, and once you're there, and I think an important thing to maybe differentiate is when, because as a writer, I have the same thing, right? It's like, oh, I need long stretches of time to think about all the pieces of this novel and how they all fit together. And the novel's too complex. I can't actually keep it all in my head anyway. So I have to piece it together, you know, one section at a time.
Uh-huh.
It's like what they say, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Right.
And it's not so much the stretch of uninterrupted time, but it's the amount of focus in the time that you have. So like you said, if you only have an hour, if you can get into it quickly and you maybe have, you know, 5 minutes in and 5 minutes out, well, yeah, then you've got 50 minutes of really focused time.
Yeah.
And that's more important than trying to block out 3 or 4 hours somewhere.
Yes. Yeah.
In which you probably won't have that intense focus. You'll be distracted by something.
Sure.
And it's funny you mentioned, so you have a workstation, a place to go where you get all your stuff done. I used to have that. I mean, I have a desk. I actually have two desks, one where I kind of do the business side of things, and then one where I try to do the creative stuff. But I have now really migrated to my laptop, and I work wherever I feel like working in the house. And I find that that change of scenery often leads me into that focus more quickly.
Gotcha.
So sometimes I'll get up in the morning and I'll, you know, it'll be nice out and it won't be too hot. And I'm like, well, I could sit on the patio today and work for at least 2 hours out here before it gets too hot and I have to go inside. And just changing it up like that, yeah, it allows me to plop down the notebook, open it up, 5 minutes, I'm in the middle of actually typing something fairly productive. So. And again, I'm going to stop in a couple hours and move again because I can't stay there. It's Las Vegas. It's too hot. although this time of year, I can. But just getting up and moving, changing the surroundings, moving itself is a good thing too because it kind of will invigorate you, get the oxygen going to your brain and all of that.
Yep.
But I think, like you said, if you're just trying to reestablish that practice, whatever works for an amount of time to achieve something, some measurable progress that you're happy with. So it might be 15 minutes, it might be 30, it might be an hour.
Sure.
It probably doesn't really have to be much more than an hour, though. And and when you're first starting, it may be better not to. It may be better to kind of build up. Because I kind of feel like it is a little bit like a muscle or like training for running or something where the more you do it, the longer you can go with that stronger focus. But when you're just starting, you know, you really just want to find that focus and you may only be able to sustain that for a few minutes, but that's fine. And then next time you sustain it for a few more minutes and so on until you reach a level that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I think a lot of people experience diminishing returns after a certain period of time. And one of the things I discovered, you know, while I was trying to get back into this, and I chose an hour because I knew I could do an hour.
Right.
Or that did not seem like a lot of time to me. So I can't stay focused on the work for much more than an hour, hour and a half. Because I start to wander off in weird directions, or I start repeating myself, or I start obsessing over some little detail that's not important at the time, or, you know, any number of things. And when I catch myself doing that, it's like, okay, we're done today.
Right.
And that's okay. You know, that's sort of my signal to me when I start, I don't know, if I'm in the process of writing something new and I start screwing around with equalization settings, I know it's time to stop because I'm not actually doing the part of the aspect of the work that I'm supposed to be doing.
Yep.
And so it's, you know, it's time. It's knowing when to stop. Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm typing away and all of a sudden I flick open Twitter and I'm just saying, well, I just want to see what's going on today. Like, no, okay, you're taking a break. You're done writing right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And so treat it like a break. Get up, walk around, do something else. And that's what I've learned to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't focus on a story for probably about 3 hours is about the most I can work on one project. And then I need a break. Well, I take breaks during that 3 hours too, but then I need to go do something else. And then I can come back to writing and I can write for another hour or two on a completely different project.
Yeah.
But I can't. Yeah, just you can't sustain that same level of creative focus and energy on the same thing unlimited. You have to break it up again into chunks and whatever chunks work for you.
Yeah. I mean, some people can, but they're...
They're unicorns.
They're working in Hollywood.
or they're hired by a game studio.
Yeah, something.
And they're driven to do it.
Yeah. Oh, God, don't get me started. But so anyway, you know, back to our original point about...
finding creativity.
Finding the creativity. You know, we've talked a lot about... Well, you know, we've talked about my journey kind of out of and back in. And, you know, I think just to summarize, it is going to be starting over in some ways, depending on how, well, not even. Even if you've been on a short hiatus, it can still be kind of starting over. But all those same rules apply. Pace yourself. Expect to suck a little bit. Don't sweat the small stuff and enjoy the process.
Enjoy the process. If it doesn't work out, you get to do it again.
You get to do it again. Exactly.
I think that's the thing, right, with most creative endeavors. I mean, unless they are really material intensive, you generally have leeway to not do a great job and to try again. You know, the painting doesn't come out right, well, you paint it, do a different one, paint again. If you're restoring an old 1945 pickup truck, you may have to redo parts of it, but
you do have less leeway,
less leeway to start over completely. But even then, I mean, I know a guy who actually did that, and he stripped it down and repainted the thing like three times before he got it where he wanted it. So, I mean, even then.
It can be done, yeah.
It can be done, yes. So I guess the only other thing I had was to try to figure out maybe how people can try to find what they want to do. Mm-hmm. Just going back to, hey, the world is full of all kinds of hobbies and interests and creative things you can do. How do you pick one?
Right.
I think I remember you way back in the days of the band when you had a keyboard that had so many settings, you couldn't decide what setting you wanted to use. You called it option anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I think that's a kind of a problem today where, you know, we might start something and we get distracted by something else. You know, we've talked about ourselves having too many hobbies, too many interests. I think that can be a problem. So I guess I would ask you, how would you go about picking something new if you decided that music wasn't doing it for you?
One of the things that I've been paying more attention to and taking more of an interest in the last few years has been photography. Mm-hmm. So that's not my big focus, right? That's not the thing I... Right. But I do it a lot now and went out and bought a new camera. I haven't used it as much as I'd like, but I do have ideas of things I want to capture and projects I want to do. And my wife is also into photography, and has a fantastic eye for composition. Mm-hmm. And she did all the still photos for the some of the music projects he did. So it's kind of a shared interest for us too as well. So I think if I wasn't doing music for some reason, I don't know, if I went... somehow was incapable of doing it, that would probably be the thing I went to. And it is something I do, but I actually think of both music and photography as being in some weird way related in my mind. And video as well. It's just video is not something I've wanted to invest a lot of creative energy into, just because it's much more involved, at least in my head. But that's another thing I might do, is lean towards those kinds of visual arts.
And I think what I'm hearing there, though, in terms of like choosing something, is looking at what's already in your life that you enjoy doing that might have a creative element to it.
Right. And that's kind of where I was going with that is, I mean, I've done a lot of other things, and there's a lot of things that I used to do that I don't really feel compelled to go back to. So I feel like those are played out for me. Not that I wouldn't enjoy it. Role-playing games, for example. I haven't done a role-playing game in years, but I enjoy that. But it's not something I spend a lot of energy on. And it's not something I would probably spend a lot of time creating at this point. It wouldn't, I was like, oh, I can't wait to get back to that. Because it's just not true. I'd be lying to myself if I said
that. No, that's true.
But yeah, it's these other interests that have developed over time in addition to making music, because we've, as you say, we've always had too many hobbies. So I've just learned to focus most of my energy on music. Doesn't mean I'm not out there with my camera doing stuff too.
Yeah. And for myself, it would be kind of similar. I would look at what's here in my life. I can just look around my room and I can see, all right, what, if I'm not writing, what, and I'm fortunate I can write in different modes, you know, fiction, short stories, poetry. If one's not working, I can always swap to another one. But if writing in general wasn't working for me, I, again, would look around at what I already have that I do at least occasionally and that brings me some sort of creative joy.
Sure.
And for me, that would be music. You know, I would pick up the guitar and I would learn how to do that better. And I would put more energy into that.
So you start playing guitar for a year. I'll start writing poetry for a year. And see.
We'll see what kind of a mess our lives are in then.
That's right.
But I think that's kind of key. Is like, yes, you could do anything. You could go you know, look at a Pinterest board and see other people's interests and hobbies and be fascinated by all of them and then stymied by which one you think you might do. It might work for you. Some people might get inspired that way, but not everyone. And I think it might be better to, again, look inward first and then look outward, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it's like, as we've been talking, I've been trying to think, is there anything that I've not done ever that I suddenly would love to just get into? And I don't know if this is a function of my age or a function of just an example of what we're talking about. It's like, there's a million things we could do out there, but none of them really interest me. Like I think it would be cool if I could draw effectively.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
But I don't really know that I want to spend the time on that.
Yeah, I used to draw maps all the time, and I always figured once I started writing fantasy books, I'd make my own maps, and I don't really enjoy that anymore. it's not something I do, and I'd rather actually leave it to a professional.
And there are professionals out there.
So. There are. There's also software that makes it a lot easier. And you can produce something professional with a little bit of artistic effort. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's just not, that's not where my interest is these days. I mean, there's a ton of things. We could start a YouTube channel. We could, we could do all kinds of things, but...
Nobody
wants to see us, but that hasn't stopped a lot of people.
That's true. We have faces for radio, so it's
we're the face of podcasting.
On second thought, let's not put those bios and headshots on the website.
Well, we can put an empty egg.
There you go.
We should do that and just, you know, as a callback to our own show. Something else we could do, right, is we could get back into doing, you know, we did a form of improv in high school. Mm-hmm. We could do something like that. A little harder because we're about 1,500 miles apart, but I'm sure there's virtual things.
The remote puppet theater.
Yeah. Something of that nature. And, you know, that would be fun. It would be really interesting to do. But the real question is, are we ready to really dedicate that much time and effort to make it the quality that we would want it to be?
Right.
And that's really the question, I think, as you're evaluating what you want to do creatively. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are fun. And go ahead and do them if they bring you joy, if they are fun to do. But if they leave you frustrated because you can't do it to the level you want to do it at, you either need to invest more time and get better at it, or... Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not the thing, right?
Yeah.
So, shall we talk about our resources of the week?
I think we should.
Do you have one?
I do. Oh, I'm up now.
I'm just asking if you have one.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a cop out, but I got excited about something, so I'll tell you about it. So I just started reading a book I got interested in through a YouTuber that mentioned it, but it's called Essentialism by Greg McKeown. And it's really aimed at sort of the business crowd more so than the creative crowd. But the thing I thought was really interesting about it was, and this goes, this goes back to having too many hobbies, but, and I think it probably really applies to folks who just have a whole lot of stuff on their plate that they're doing. But it's really about mindset and getting control of your priorities, and how to say no to things,
right?
To everybody's benefit, not just your own, but the people you're Correct. Working with or the people you're doing stuff with. I'll read a little quote from the first chapter, basically explains what we're talking about here. Greg McKeown writes, essentialism is not about how to get more things done, it's about how to get the right things done. It doesn't mean doing less just for the sake of doing less either. It's about making the wisest possible investment of your time and energy in order to operate at our highest point of contribution by doing only what is essential. And I think, you know, for people who get stretched too thin, either at work or in their creative endeavors, or if they just take on too much stuff, take on too many hobbies, take on any number of things, I think there's some stuff in here that would be interesting reading. More on that when I finish the book, and I'll report back and say, okay, this was really good. I just, the very thought of it, I'd be looking at my desk going, what is all this crap I've got on here that I never touch? You know, it's just, I don't need all this crap, you know? So just taking a, not so much minimalist, but just essentialist view of some of the crap in my desk and just saying, I don't need half these tools. They just are taking up room and dust. So I remove them. That's just sort of one thing I did, which is probably just busy work. But anyway, point being, I'm going to read the book. I will report back. If it's total bollocks, I'll say so. If it's useful, I will highlight what I liked about it. So that's right. Essentialism by Greg McKeown. If you want to join the Time is Right book club and read it along with me, we'll quickly form a book club.
I'm thinking we recommend so many books, maybe we should.
I'm wondering,
We should actually at least put together a recommended reading list. I do think I should
That's a good
put
idea.
That on the website.
We should solicit those too, because we get good, we've gotten good, we've gotten good things from our guests too.
Yes. I was thinking solicit in a different sense where people would pitch their books to us. And I'm like, I don't want that.
It's not a writing podcast. Stop it.
Yes. Yes. No, I didn't mean that either. I just meant, you know, people who were trying to sell a self-help book.
Oh. But you're talking about some...
No.
All right.
No.
Just dragging one of our writer friends onto this podcast and saying, all right, tell us why we should buy that book you've been working on. How mean-spirited can we be?
I don't know. Works for a lot of people in podcasting.
Anyway.
All right. So... my resources, actually, what I did was I put three resources together that call back to our earlier episode on why creativity is important and the benefits to our emotional health by doing creative things. So the first article was really just a short summary of the science behind it, and that page has a bunch of links to other articles that just talk about the actual science behind why being creative is good for you. And one of the articles also talks about the benefits of expressive writing, and that expressive writing can be everything from essays, personal essays, memoir, even poetry and letter writing and journaling. And I think I mentioned earlier journaling as something that one of the people I was talking to had stopped doing. And I'm hoping they are getting back into it after we talked, because there was a real realization that they had not been paying attention to their emotional health. And writing was something they absolutely enjoyed. And it was just kind of a, you know, they fell out of it because of the pandemic, and it was kind of just a realization, well, yeah, I really do like that. Maybe I should go back and do that again. And so that actually was a very good article, I thought, on journaling and how it engages the creative part of our brains and supports that emotional side as well. And then the last article is actually about the mental health benefits of knitting. And there is such a thing. And
sure.
you know, again, it just falls right in line with all the things that we've talked about. And so we'll have those links in the show notes. And hopefully they will give some people some ideas.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's our show. Kevin, who are you and what do you do?
Well, as you said, I'm Kevin. my name is Kevin Fellows. I write fantasy fiction mostly, but also some poetry and other things. You can find me at kevinjfellows.com. My books are there. My books are anywhere you care to buy them. And my website's the best place to find me. I'm also on the socials, but not as much these days. But you can find me on Twitter and Instagram as at Kevin J. Fellows.
And I'm John Davis. I'm a musician and composer. You can find me on the socials and as at JD Sampo. And my music, I'm kind of rebranding a bit. I'm actually going releasing more stuff under my own name. So if you search Spotify or Amazon or YouTube as looking for John M. Davis, you will most likely find me because surprisingly, there's no other John M. Davis on those servers. But you'll also find me in JD Sampo in places like Bandcamp and SoundCloud and everywhere else. So JD Sampo, John M. Davis, I'm out there. And I think that's all I got. Again, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, leave us a review, leave us a rating. We really appreciate it. Gets us up in the search results. I think that's all we got. So bye for now.
Bye for now.